Now we come to this very wonderful passage of Scripture in verse 9 that we have here. It reveals that a Christian is to live a life that's commensurate with his position in Christ. And until we live that life, we're not experiencing normal Christian living. Now, he says here several wonderful things about us. And these are gifts for you. And I'd just like to call your attention to the fact that God now has these gifts for you today, Christian friend. And let me read verse 9. And there are quite a few of them here for you. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people of his own, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Now, we are told here several things. First, a chosen generation. Second, a royal priesthood. Third, a holy nation. And fourth, a people of his own, not a peculiar people. God's people are not supposed to be oddballs or crackpots. Some people seem to think that is what peculiar means, but it means, as the translation is given here in the New Scofield Reference Bible, a people of his own. Now let's look at these rather briefly, but they're very important for us today. He says here that you are, first of all, a chosen generation. That is, an elect race. Now, back in the Old Testament, God chose Israel as his people. And you have in the Scripture two elect groups of people. The nation Israel is called an elect nation. And the church is called an elect nation, also an elect people. And there are these two groups. Now, what Peter is saying to his own people, and as we've said, this is written to the diaspora, those Jews scattered throughout the Roman Empire and even beyond. He says, instead of being scattered now, and you certainly don't look like a chosen generation, an elect race now, but you have come now to Christ. And you are a chosen generation. You're an elect nation, just as the children of Abraham was. You remember God chose a man and he made a nation, and that nation failed. And the thing that's important is that now there has been given to the church the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and today we're to give out the gospel because the church is the chosen. Now, this honor is conferred upon believers, and God has stamped out for you today a very wonderful medal like that of Israel, and on it is, you are an elect race. You're a chosen generation. Now, there's a vain attempt being made today to identify certain peoples of this earth with the 10 lost tribes. Well, the gypsies have been identified as that, the Mormons have, the Adventists, the British Israel group, and all that sort of thing. May I say to you, if you could prove that England and America, the 10 lost tribes, what have you proven? God has set aside the nation Israel temporarily. And today God's doing a new thing. And out of every tongue and nation and people, God is calling out an elect race, a chosen generation from both Jew and Gentile, and they are brought into a new relationship to God in the church. And you and I have come to him, but he says he's chosen us. And I like that. Remember hearing the story about two little children, two little urchins, their brother and sister from the slums of New York. They got up where there was Macy's department store, and they were looking in the window at the gifts that were there that they could never have. But they were playing a game, and one of them says, I choose this one, I choose that, I choose that toy, I choose that doll, and I don't know about you, I choose Jesus. And that's what you say today, that's fine. But the most wonderful thing about it is Jesus chose me, and he chose you. I think one of the most wonderful things he said about his apostles, he says, you haven't chosen me, I've chosen you. That's wonderful, friends. And I do not mean to be irreverent, but if he chose me, he's responsible. The responsibility is his. I belong to him. Unto you, therefore, which believe, he's precious. How wonderful it is to have him today and to know that he has chosen us. Now we're told that we're a royal priesthood. Now, what does he mean by royal priesthood? Well, back in the Old Testament, God, first of all, chose the entire nation of Israel to be priests. And I believe in the millennium, they're going to be priests here on this earth, the whole nation. But they sinned, and then God chose one tribe out of that nation. There is no priesthood today on this earth that God recognizes except one. There is a priesthood, and every believer is a priest. And I gave a message some time ago on our Sunday program, and my subject was, you are a Catholic priest. And I'm a Catholic priest. Catholic means general, of course. And every believer is a priest, therefore. And as priests, we have access to God. He tells us here, and it's Simon Peter. He told me, I'm a member of a royal priesthood. I'm a child of the king. What a wonderful thing it is. I now belong to Christ. And what a wonderful gift that is. We have access to God. We can come today into the Holy of Holies. And we'll read a little later on in this epistle, for the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and he hears their prayers. And today, the door is wide open to give the Word of God out. And I hope you're involved in a ministry somehow or another of getting the Word of God out today. And then the third thing here, he says, you are a holy nation. Now, Israel never was a holy nation in conduct, and the same can be said of the church. Never been holy in conduct. Israel's failure is glaring. The church's failure is appalling. But we're holy in our relationship with him. He's been made unto us righteousness, and Christ is our righteousness. And if you have any standing before God, it's not in you, it's in Christ. And I can't think of anything more wonderful than that, that today I stand complete in him. And how wonderful it is to be a member of a holy nation. And this is a new nation that is in the world today. And then he mentions the fact here about you're a peculiar people, or, as we read, people of his own. And that is something that I think is rather important. It's really a people for acquisition, a people for God's own possession. We belong to him. And not only, therefore, is there a new nation in the world, but there is a peculiar people. That is, a people that belong to him. And I don't know why that it seems to me like this is something a great many people are afraid of. It doesn't mean that we have to be peculiar in conduct or act strangely, but we belong to him, his very own people, and it's something that is his own. It's like a boy that goes out and gets a job, and he makes money for the first time, and his dad's been giving him an allowance, but now the money belongs to him. This is something he worked for, and it's his very own. Well, Christ worked, his work of redemption. He shed his blood, as we've seen in this epistle. And now he has a people for his own. And you remember that he prayed for those. Yonder in that great high priestly prayer of his in John 17, he says that the Father gave them me, and everyone that comes to me, I'll not cast out. How wonderful it is. And God calls his own, and he calls you today, my friend. He calls every race today. Doesn't make any difference what race you belong to. You've been called to become a very special, a very wonderful, a chosen generation, and a royal priesthood, not to wear robes and recite a ritual, but a priesthood that has access to God and belong to a new nation, not Germany or England or Japan or even the United States, but you belong to that great company of believers out of every nation, a people. Happy is that people whose God is the Lord. And we are the people and the sheep of thy pasture. The Lord is round about his people. And for the transgression of my people, he said, and sanctify the people with his blood. How wonderful it is to have a wonderful high priest that today is for us. And these are the wonderful positions he's given. Now he says, who in time past were not a people. We didn't belong to God. We were far from him. But are now the people of God, who had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. And friends, there's one gift that you don't want to miss. And the title of that gift, the name written on the box, is mercy. And it's a big box. God, he's rich in mercy, and abundant mercy. And if you need any today, you can go to him, and he's merciful. He wants to save you. He wants to help you. He wants to lift you up. How wonderful it is.